Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم علماء كرام respected elders and brothers. The desire of most of us is that we become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps a greater desire more than likely is that we all wish to attain Jannat. And some of us who have been in the company of ulama-i kiram may have even a greater desire, and that is to earn the pleasure of Allah in this world, and of course the pleasure of Allah in the everlasting hereafter. But sometimes we do not understand what comes between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we go through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then amongst the many aspects that we will find, the things that have become barriers between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our guna and our sins. When we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more specifically, we will find that there are so many negative effects of sin that an individual commits, that not only does it affect our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only does it affect the situation of this ummah, but in general terms, it affects the entire creation of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Commenting on the ayat of the Quran Kareem, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. The very basic translation of the ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear and categorical that whatever fasad, whatever fitna, whatever corruption erupts on this earth, on the land, or on sea, is because of the doings of man. Hazrat Mujahid Rahmatullah Alayh has narrated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created this earth, and up to the time that Allah sent Adam alayhi salatu wasalam on this earth, then there was not a piece of land on this earth that was not lush. Every piece of land had given out a great amount of vegetation. Every piece of land was green. Every tree on this earth was a fruit-bearing tree. But then, when the first sin on this earth was committed, the son of Adam alayhi salat was salam kills his brother. And because of the nahusat, the ill effects of that sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed the lushness of this earth in many parts. We will see the barren land. We will see land kilometers after kilometers that do not bear anything whatsoever. And together with that, many a tree stopped bearing fruit. Some we will notice that even will bear thorns. And that was the ill effects, the consequence, the result of one single sin that was committed by insan on this earth. So respected and dear brothers and friends, when we begin to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us on this earth and to become obedient to Allah Rabbul Izzat, to eliminate sin from our lives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also shown us via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the many ill effects that sins can commit, that sins can create within the individual. In Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Bani Israel, O people of Israel, if you become obedient to me and you act according to my pleasure, then I will bring barakah in your lives. I will give you barakah in your material belongings, barakah in whatever you have insofar as your resources are concerned, and then I will give you barakah in also your children. But O Bani Israel, when you become disobedient to me and your actions become displeasing to me, then the result will be that I will remove that barakah from you. You yourself will be void of barakat. And brothers, how many of us don't complain about time? How many of us complain that we work so hard but we cannot make ends meet? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this to the Bani Israel, that I will remove the barakah from you. I will remove the barakah from your wealth, from your material belongings. I will remove the barakah from your resources, and I will also remove the barakah from your children. At the time of Hunain, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had conquered Hunain, after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the booty or the spoils of war, which was the allotted share of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he began to distribute that wealth to some individuals. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had done this, a particular person began to say unbecoming things, disrespectful to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like for example, this is not a fair distribution. This is not a distribution according to the will and the command of Allah. And this individual is raising an objection against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama have written that as a consequence of that, in the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, the leader of the Khawarij, the people who had renegated against Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one were the Shias who were sympathetic and they over exaggerated the status of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One were those who had began to disrespect Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The very leader was from the offspring of this individual. So brothers, we must understand that when a person breaks the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a natural consequence. When we look at Jami al-Saghir, we will find many riwayat, many narrations that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had spoken about the ill of this ummah and its consequences on the ummah and man at large. Like for example, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stated that when this ummah begins to give short measure, now usually when we speak of short weight or short measure, then our minds go to the business person that is dealing in commodities in which there is weight or measurement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this in the Quran, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. And the ulama have categorically stated that any person that gives in short measure, whether it be a commodity, whether it be a service, whether it be a right that was owed to another person, the employer shortchanged his employee, or vice versa, the employee shortchanges the employer in whatever way, all of them come within the scope of this hadith and ayat of the Quran Kareem. Then as a natural consequence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to withhold the rain. When this becomes rife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds back the rain. And what happens naturally? We will find that there is famine, there is drought, there is scarcity of food. We will find the escalation of prices. And of course we will find people dying because of hunger, starvation, malnutrition, etc. Now brothers, we can understand that this is in actual fact the consequence of the wrongs of insan of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had stated that when my ummah begins to get involved in usury and interest, and the hadith is in its general sense, whether we take the usury and the interest, whether we pay it, or in whatever way our involvement is, when interest becomes rife in this ummah, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it gives rise to the abundant flowing of blood. Now brothers, when we look around us, on a local level, we will find that there are murders taking place, violence, unjust murder. When we look at it globally, we will find invasions, we will find mass slaughter of Muslims. If we can just recall the last few days in Palestine, Muslims are dying by the tens and by the hundreds. And brothers, sometimes we need to introspect and we need to look within ourselves. Is our gunas, are we not the cause of the injustice that is being done to the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Is it not because I break the commandment of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a natural consequence bring these conditions upon us? We cannot justify the wrongs of the zalimin, of the oppressors, but we also need to introspect. Further in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam states, and brothers, you know, it is so zealous, it is so enthusiastic that when we hear our imams make dua after the salat or at any condition, at any time, Allahumma ansuril Islam wal Muslimin, we will hear that fervent ameen with zeal, with enthusiasm, with sincerity. But respected and dear friends, that is indicative of our concern for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But listen to this part of the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, when my ummah begins to break promises, when my ummah begins to break promises, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the non-Muslims, the kuffar, grant them dominance over the ummah. Now brothers, if you look at it and we just analyze, more especially when a Muslim promises another Muslim. And again, this promise can be in the field of our business, that we promise the merchant his payment. One is that a person at the time of the promise may be very sincere, wanting to fulfill the promise, but because of circumstances beyond his control, he is unable to deliver. That may be a different situation. But the ummah has become so audacious, the ummah has become so daring, that we make promises, and at the time of making promises, we sometimes take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we take a qasam, and our hearts have already determined that we are not going to fulfill this promise. So be it a payment to our merchant, be it a delivery to our customer, be it promises between spouses, husbands and wives, be it between parents and children, at whatever level we do this, when we begin to break these promises so audaciously, then brothers, if we cannot have honor for the heart of another Muslim, if we cannot honor another Muslim, then how do we expect the kuffar to honor the blood of a Muslim? If we cannot honor the heart of a Muslim, how do we expect the kuffar to honor the blood of a Muslim? So respected and dear friends, when we look at this, we will find that sometimes difficulties that come upon ourselves, difficulties that come upon the ummah, a community, is sometimes because of our own gunas, our own sins. And more than likely, this becomes the barrier between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bukhari Sharif, there is one riwayat. There was a person by the name of Mud'im. This Mud'im had such an opportunity in his life that not only was he in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only was his eyes looking at Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this Mut'im had that opportunity to also be the khadim, the personal attendant and assistant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is to have sohbat, and one is to become the khadim. And over and above that, he is the khadim of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is out in the path of Allah. So he is out in the path of Allah. He is in the companionship of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He is attending to Nabi alayhi salam. It comes in the riwayat. He is carrying the luggage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers, if somebody has to tell us that there is one tabarruk, one part of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's position in any part of the world, we all will be prepared to travel the earth to have a look at it. Here he is carrying the belongings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his hands. And as they proceed, a stray arrow hits him in his neck and he falls and he dies. Now there were some sahaba around him, and these sahaba began to exclaim according to their understanding that this person has died a shaheed. What a death. He is in the sohbat of Nabi alayhi salam. He is attending to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At the same time, he leaves this world with the luggage and the belongings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his hand. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at the sahaba and he said, "Oh my sahaba, Allah has revealed to me that this person will enter the fire of Jahannam." So sahaba were amazed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then further explained that in the battle, this person had taken a blanket unlawfully. It was not part of his booty. It was not part of his spoils. He had taken it unlawfully, and that blanket will become the fuel of the fire of Jahannam for this individual. So brothers, sometimes where we are, with who we are, what we are doing may not matter. And because of one single wrong that we are doing, it becomes a barrier between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that stage, there was a person that came forward with what we can call today two pieces of shoelace, which the hadith describes as two leather straps that is used to tie the shoes in those days. He brings these two leather straps, and how big can that be? He brings it and now he places it in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, wanting to return it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks at that, and Nabi alayhi salam asks the person, "Do you want me to touch the fire of Jahannam?" In other words, this person had taken it also unlawfully. Now when he hears the fate of Mud'im, then he wants to return this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers, from here the ulama have deduced very many masail of deen, and amongst them we should just understand one very, very important aspect, that qabuliyat, acceptance, is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no matter how obedient we are to Allah Rabbul Izzat, it is appreciated. But at the same time, between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gunas become a barrier, the sins become a barrier. It becomes an impediment for our spiritual progress towards Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then of course, Ibn Arabi has written that sometimes we live by this misconception that the fire of Jahannam is very far away from our lives. But in reality, every guna, every wrong, like how that blanket is related to the fire of Jahannam, like how that shoelace or that strap of leather is related to the fire of Jahannam. Allah's Nabi could see that fire coming out from it. Like that, every guna has his roots in the fire of Jahannam. Respected and beloved friends, at this stage, we all need to introspect and try and leave gunas. And basically, a very simple way maybe, if we cannot do it all together, but let us introspect, take sin at a time, and try and eliminate it and remove it out of our lives. At the time of the Bani Israel, there was one person that came to a Nabi of Allah, and he asked that Nabi to invoke on his behalf the maghfirat and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Nabi of Allah lifted his hands and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded and Allah revealed to the Nabi that I will never forgive this person. So the Nabi was taken aback and he inquired from Allah, oh Allah, why it be so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that so long as the ladhat, so long as the pleasure of the sin remains in the heart of that individual, I will not forgive that person. So respected and dear friends, one is to leave the guna. And then one is the ladhat, one is the pleasure of the sin also needs to leave our heart. And by and large, many of us live by a misconception. And that is, that this is a minor sin, so it is okay, it is fine. We can embark upon it. And that is a major sin, so we may consider leaving it. Once a person asked a very pious personality, Ya Hazrat, is this a major sin or a minor sin? So that Buzruk responded and he said, brother, tell me, a little spark, a little piece of coal, can it do any less damage than a bigger piece of coal? We hear so many times that just a cigarette was the cause of an entire building being gutted. So similarly, in actual fact, every sin can spark off the destruction of an individual. That is why on one occasion, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once addressing some tabi'een and he said to them, the difference between you and the people that have passed before you, amongst the differences, one difference is this, that whatever small error, minor error, not even a guna, a mistake that they made, for them it was, the pressure was like that of a mountain that was resting on their heads. They could not rest with that. They had to rectify it, they had to correct it. If it was a sin, they had to make tawbah. And your situation is such that you commit large and huge mistakes, errors and gunas and sins. And for you it is like a little fly that rests on your nose that you think you can just swat it away. That is not the case and that is the very great difference. Respected and dear friends, in conclusion, I'll just narrate an incident that has been narrated in the kitabs of tafsir of a person by the name of Kifl. One is Dhul Kifl that comes in the Quran Kareem. Not that individual, but another person from amongst the Bani Israel. He was a wealthy and at the same time a wicked person. They lived in his community, a woman who was in dire needs and in difficulty. And this woman needed a few coins to run her life and to continue the path of survival on this earth. Kifl found the opportunity to be most opportune. And he said to her that I will give you whatever your needs, even double. But just so long as we embark on the heinous crime. This lady in her desperation had agreed. And when he placed the coins in front of her, and he expected her to hand herself over to him, she began to cry. Her entire body began to shake, the tears profusely rolling down her cheeks, and she could not control her limbs. And he continued to interject and ask, "What is wrong?" Then eventually when she had some control over herself, she said, brother, I have never broken the command of Allah. Never once did I willfully break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I do this on this occasion, it will be the first time. The thoughts began to run in his mind.
He left that money, he made it halal for her. He goes home. He begins to ponder that a woman would not one single material possession has such great fear and khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who am I? Where am I? With all the ni'mas that Allah has given me, yet I am so daring, so audacious, I am so wicked. He makes tawbah. That tawbah was between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that night he passes away, he leaves this world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah accepts the tawbah of an individual, Allah will give izzat also to that person. To keep the tongues quiet of the people, that nobody says ill words or bad words about kifl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inscribed on the door of kifl the next morning, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِكِفْلٍ. Allah has forgiven kifl. When people came to his door, they saw this, they opened his house, they saw he had passed away, and of course they had buried him, making his janazah, etc. Respected and beloved friends, sometimes the taqwa of one person may become the means of somebody else's tawbah, but we all need to introspect the great ni'mat that Allah has given us. Let us not misuse it. Let us not become unappreciative to these great ni'mats. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all obedient. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.